Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Now I know what it really takes to be the best in the world, and I still want that. I still want Olympic gold. I'm like, sometimes you really have to go through something hard to figure out who you truly are as a person and how hard you need to work to be able to accomplish something like that.
Hey everybody, and welcome to RealPod. I'm Victoria Garrick, former D1 athlete and mental health and body image advocate, and I'll be your host. We've got awesome guests, weekly inspiration, and are bringing you the realest conversations about everything and anything. Now let's get real. Welcome back to Real Pod. Thanks for clicking on this episode today. We are joined by a very special and talented athlete. Her name is Sarah Hughes, and she is a professional beach volleyball player. Sarah is best known for her historic career as a collegiate volleyball player, one of the best of all time. She paved the way for the program to become what it is now, leading them to multiple national championships and multiple Pac-12 championships and setting records left and right. She continued her career as a professional beach volleyball player, where this past season, her and her partner peaked at number 9 in the world rankings on their way to hopefully the 2020 Olympic Games. However, Sarah's partner got injured, and Sarah and her partner had to pull out of multiple tournaments and got to a point where Sarah was also having to think about finding other partners or how she was going to figure this out. So it's really powerful and inspiring what she's been through, a situation where you work with one person to achieve this goal and this dream of going to the Olympics that barely anyone can accomplish, and then you're so close and one of you suffers an injury. It's out of your control. There's nothing you can do. How do you come back from that? How do you persevere? So Sarah and I dive into that today and how she was planning on rerouting and continuing to find that Olympic pursuit. We recorded this episode. I also want to add, we recorded this episode before the coronavirus was a national emergency. So we had no idea it was going to escalate to this. And so Sarah is talking about, you know, her pursuit before this virus happened. However, now that the virus is out and we do know that the Olympics are being postponed, I wanted to check in with Sarah so you guys could hear from her. So at the very end of this episode, stay tuned, because there's a phone call where Sarah gets us up to date on where she's at now with training and with the Olympics and how the cancellation of all the games around the world has affected her personally. I thought it would be really powerful to hear from an athlete today who is being directly affected by this, especially someone like Sarah, who is so optimistic, so resilient, and really inspiring the way she constantly overcomes the adversity she's faced with. So I can't wait for all of you to hear from Sarah Hughes. Let's get started.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing.
And I'm just curious to learn more about you, because I feel like I know from a surface level, obviously, fantastic volleyball player, iconic at USC, legend, Sarah Hughes, all these things. But I think there's probably so much more to you, to what's allowed you to be so great and excel past so many other athletes your age. And just because we were in the same Glenn Fox class, I'm like, okay, she's got to be tapped in mentally. She knows her personal philosophy statement. Like, there's a lot that we could jump into.
Yeah, no, oh my gosh. I loved that Glenn Fox class.
Right?
He is amazing. I've actually just recently reached out to him just to kind of work with him a little bit more.
Great.
But I think it's so important, like the mental side of sports in general. It's just like,
yes.
I think lately it's really been tapped into, whereas beforehand it wasn't really mentioned a ton. It was just like, wow, that's such a physical elite athlete. What
right.
are they doing in the gym? But now it's kind of, oh, wait, you're, you know, great physically, you're strong, but like what's going on in your head?
Yes.
And what are you doing to like use that on the court to benefit you?
Do you remember the exact moment in your sports career where you were led on to this of, okay, my mind's going to really matter?
I don't, you know, it's so hard because I think growing up in sports, I've just always, like, I've always wanted to be a beach volleyball player. Like, from, like, I was as young as 8 years old, and I remember my first experience on the beach volleyball court, and I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
And you grew up by the beach, right? You're from Long Beach.
Yeah, so I was born in Long Beach, and then my family is from, like, the Costa Mesa area, so I grew up in Huntington Beach, and, like, I've just always been a beach girl, and I've always loved volleyball, so I found it really, really young, and I've just, like, have always had this mentality of like, this is what I want to do, and I have to put in so much work to get to where I need to be. Like, luckily, you know, I come from a really athletic family, so like that physical piece of like, you know, just maybe being like naturally gifted athletic wise, but like other than that, I was just like always so driven to do my best and like to be the best on the court.
So when you were young and maybe, oh, I'm not, I can't get to that ball, or oh, I can't swing as high as I want to, you're working on those things as opposed to, you think other people your age maybe weren't as driven to get better?
Yeah, maybe not. I think and that comes from a huge thing. Like, I had a great coach when I was younger. I was super lucky, like just the best man ever, like invited girls down who we saw had great potential and like coached us for free. So like that ultimately changed my life. And he, you know, taught the basics and fundamentals of beach volleyball, but it was just like, see, like, why wouldn't you be going for that ball? Like every ball, like you have to go after it. You have to chase after it. And
that's
like
such a mentality to go for every single ball. And I don't want to blame this on one of the coaches I had, but I did have a coach that was very, this is your ball and this is not your ball, especially for indoor because you have six people out there.
Yeah.
So then it was this weird thing of a libero. I would be like, I'm afraid to take a ball that's not mine, when the mindset of a libero should be every ball is mine.
So, totally. Oh my gosh.
So I was just, you know, it is a mentality, especially on beach. I mean, I've seen plays where girls, their partner shanks a ball and you're just like, plays over. Oh no, they have a hand on it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a huge thing. It's just, especially like sometimes when I see girls, it's like, you got to go after the ball. And like some people are almost like afraid
right.
to dive, or, and it's like, it's okay. It's sand. It's nicer than the indoor yeah. court. Like, go ahead, like dive on it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And then you had obviously a very successful high school career. And then USC, actually, that was around the first time NCAA was even made volleyball, beach volleyball, a sanctioned sport. So
yeah.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, what would have happened if, you know, you couldn't have played college volleyball?
I don't even know. So like growing up, like I loved indoor as well. I played indoor and beach up until my senior year of high school. But like I was getting recruited, it was mostly for indoor because at the time beach wasn't even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess technically it was even called sand volleyball back
right.
then.
I still don't even know what to call it.
It is technically beach volleyball now.
Okay.
But so I grew up and I'm like, okay, getting recruited for indoor and to places like USC and Stanford and Texas.
Right.
And I was like, okay, if I'm playing indoor, I need to have there needs to be a beach team. Cause when I think I was like a sophomore in high school and beach was becoming a thing. It was like, oh, it's out there. They're starting it. So I was like, okay, I'm playing both in college. Like I need to have a program where there's beach volleyball. So that was like my main thing going into recruiting. I wanted both. And then I went to SC and I talked to both the indoor and beach coach. And at the time, like I was a setter, mm-hmm. indoor, setter right side. And USC at the time, I think I had like three setters indoor. So they loved me. They like really liked me as a player, but didn't really need a position for me.
Right.
And so I met with Anna Collier, mm-hmm. the beach coach, and she toured me around, and like right away I knew. I was like, this is the school I want to be at. Mm-hmm. It has all the resources I want. And like at the time they were building like a beach volleyball stadium, and I was hooked because it was just like all I wanted. And people thought I was crazy. They were like, you're the number one recruit, one of the number one recruits in your class for indoor, and you're giving up indoor to play a sport that might not make it in college.
Wow.
And it was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. Like I would go home and just be emotional because I think mostly I was so worried about disappointing other people, mm-hmm. because I was like, I don't want to tell my indoor coach, like he's helped me so much. He's put me like at this stage in my life, and I'm going to disappoint him because I want to go follow my passion, my dream. But when I ended up telling him, like, I'm going to go play beach volleyball in college, he was just like, I'm so happy for you. You made a decision. That's amazing. So it's just like all these people ultimately had my back. But I was so afraid because I didn't want to disappoint them.
I'm glad that you did make a decision that was best for you, because at that age of 17, 18 years old, college does really feel like someone else's choice for us. I mean, where we apply, where we go, what we major in. I mean, it really does feel like, I haven't even had a second to sit up and ask myself what I want, because all of high school I've been prepping to go to the same school everyone in my family did, or to be the first to go to college, or to be whatnot. And so it is scary to say, I'm going to make a life decision for myself, despite what the people I trust around me are telling me maybe is the better choice. I'm glad it worked out for you.
Yeah, no, it is scary, because I was scared, but everyone was like, do what you want to do. And like I followed my heart. Like that was the ultimate thing. I followed my heart, did what I wanted to do, and it worked out really well. I could, like, SC was the best.
And then you go on to be in the record books there, sort of just set the tone for what the program was going to be. And I feel like when I look at your college volleyball career from a stats standpoint, or a records, or 48 game win streak, it seems like you were far and above the other beach volleyball level players. And I'm curious, is that you thinking just naturally I was better? Or was this, no, I was putting in more work? Or no, we were constantly working on our mistakes and constantly working on these things. What was it that separated you and Kelly so far above everyone else?
Yeah, never for a moment I thought it was just going to be easy. Like, oh, we're the best team. Like that, it is what it is. I have never had that mentality. I never underestimate who's on the other side of the court. It's like, I'm there to bring it every time. And even in like practice in the gym, like there is no way I wanted to be last in anything. I wanted to be PRing above everyone else. I wanted to be the first in sprints. Like at practice, we did competition drills, and like I wanted to win. Like I wanted to be there. And I going in freshman year, like I had this mentality. I was like, I want this team to be the best, and I'm going to challenge each and every girl on my team to get better. And you know, and then I was rewarded. The coach actually put me with a senior my freshman year, and I played at the one spot. And I just learned and grew so much from that, because I was challenged, and she wasn't even sure to put a freshman at that spot. But I was like, I want that responsibility, and I want to prove that I can do that. So there was not one practice or weightlifting session that I took off. It was like, I need to be the best, and I want to be up there with the top.
So let's say you're at a practice and ones is scrimmaging fives. I mean, you're like, we will obliterate you. I mean, I am not going to let this be close. I'm not going to let anything be tested, no matter what the standard. I mean, no matter what the standard for you is high.
Oh yeah, 100%. And the thing with that too is like beach volleyball is, it's interesting because in college it's like you and your partner, but it's a team sport. Like you have to win 3 out of the 5 matches. So it's like, if I'm not giving my best to my fives team, then they're not going to get better, and then they're not going to win.
Right.
So it was a collective, like, I want to push myself to get better, but I also want to push my teammates, because overall, if I do that collectively, like, we're going to become a really great team. And that was the thing at SC. Like, we wanted to build that culture of, oh, we're not here just to have fun and like play on the beach courts. Like they're like, oh, beach volleyball. Like, mm-hmm. What are those girls doing? And then we built this program of, we're working hard, we're competitive, and we're going to win.
along with that obviously comes a lot of pressure. And it seems like you're maybe putting some pressure on yourself of, I want to lead this team, I want to build this program, I want to be the reason. And then on top of that, you know, you're a student athlete for the first time, and that's a challenge. So did you feel at all any wavering with just the stability you felt in your life or the happiness you felt navigating that freshman year of this huge adjustment, or was it blissful for you?
I think there's always going to be a huge adjustment going from high school to college, especially being a D1 collegiate athlete. I mean, for any collegiate athlete in general, it's hard. You're all of a sudden you're in all these upper level classes, you're in college, you have this responsibility of like a 4-hour time block blocked out in the middle of your day, because you're like, that's dedicated to volleyball. And you're like, okay, I have 10 minutes from this class to the gym, and it's across campus.
And then your partner is like 22-year-old woman, and you're still like, I'm an 18-year-old girl.
Yeah, she was like this beautiful senior, like, you know, and I like super knew what she was doing. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to live up to this. But I think there's always obstacles and challenges, but it's about how you deal with that. And like, there are so many, like, I learned so many lessons, but like, I always learn from that. Like, it was like something happened, I'm like, okay, I can't do that next time. Like, I'm going to need, I'm going to need to just like figure out when my time to study is, when my time to write that essay. Like, I mean, come on, we've all done an essay like the night before it's due.
Oh, 100% in JMC.
Yeah, but I think I just didn't dwell when things went wrong, because I was like, okay, I learned that lesson and I'm going to move on from that. But there's always pressure, especially from, you know, girls that were juniors and seniors on the team. They're kind of looking at this freshman like, she deserved that number one spot. Like, right. She just came in. What is she doing? And I think ultimately in the end, I just proved it through how I participated on the court and in the weight room. And I don't know, we were just always on a Collier, put such high expectations on us that we just wanted to fulfill that and live up to that. Like, even with grades, like, she wanted everyone to have a 3.0 and above. And sometimes like collegiate athletes, that can be hard. And I remember like my first class, I like wasn't doing, like in high school it was kind of like, oh, I, you know, was an A student. It wasn't that difficult, but getting to college, it was like a step up. Mm-hmm. And I got like a C in my first paper and I was like devastated. I was like, how, like writing, I love to write, this is my thing. Like, what am I doing wrong?
I feel like writing 150 gives everyone a C.
No, and that's what everyone told me. They're like, oh, you, it's only so you can improve after that. Yeah. But I was like,
that's a thing they do at USC. They give you a C on your first writing paper so that you, I don't even know.
Yeah, no. So I remember I was like, so like freaked out by that. And like, I don't know, I always just wanted to give my best and my all. And so whether that meant athletics or academics, it was like, I just need to do well.
I'm curious, can you remember a certain aspect of your game that freshman year you were like, I got to get better at this. Like, this is the thing that is differentiating this college level from what I used to do in Long Beach.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I remember like just offensively, it's like, I was like, I just need to get better. I need to be stronger, more powerful, because there's girls that are older than me that have been in the weight room longer than me. So I just remember like knowing that I always had to keep getting better and step up.
Keep getting stronger. Yeah. And I love this because you've mentioned the weight room a few times. And I think as female athletes, like, that is such an empowering thing. Did you ever have thoughts of, oh no, I don't want to gain too much muscle?
Honestly, for me, like, always the weight room has been like, I want to be the strongest. And like, I want to, like, my favorite thing at SC was doing pull-ups and having like the 22-pound chain around my neck doing pull-ups. Like, I felt so empowered doing that. And I know for a lot of girls, sometimes it's, I don't want to build that muscle. Like, I want to slim down. But for me, like, that has always been like, I just want whatever's best for me and how I feel on the court. Like, doesn't matter how you look or
what size you're
wearing. What size you are. It's about like, look at me winning that national championship. Not, oh, how do I look in that photo? It's like, I'm, you know, like I should be proud of like winning and being up there, and I deserve that because I worked hard for it. So it was never how I looked. It was just how I felt on the court.
I love that. And I'm so grateful that you always felt that way. That's definitely something I had to learn.
I mean, but it's hard, especially with like social media these days. It's so hard.
Right. And then it's funny because then, and I feel like I had a shift. Like I tapped into that my upperclassman years, and I would start to look at the girls who lifted heavy. And as opposed to this, I can't believe they're lifting heavy. It was, oh, I want to grab that dumbbell tomorrow and be at their level. And it's so rewarding when I think female athletes can shift and tap into that mindset of my body's a mechanism for performance. And so you're constantly working, constantly grinding to get better and better. And your college career is amazing. I mean, and it's really, I think, I'm sure you know this, but how special it is to sort of look back and truly believe you had a big hand in building that program. It's really rare. You know, I think there's a lot of sports that they date back to the 80s, 70s, whatever. Yeah. But to know how recent that was, it must be special.
Yeah, it is really special. And USC is so near and dear to my heart. So I just want to see them succeed. And, you know, I think that's why the team did so well and we were so close and we wanted to work hard for each other. It was because we were building something. And it was this new sport. Nobody was sure, but like we proved, like, look at these girls. They're athletic. They're in the sand. They're flinging their body all around. Like we just felt like we were building the program and we wanted to build a winning program. And that's what we did. And I just wish the best for SC. And like, honestly, all the programs, like it's one of the fastest growing NCAA sports in history.
That's awesome.
Like, and it's so great to see that and to know I was a part of that and help start that.
For sure. And then the beauty of beach volleyball is you could continue that professionally in the United States.
Yes.
Unfortunately, for indoor, you know, I have to pack up, say bye to my family and learn another language and move somewhere. And that's obviously not that was not the thing that I wanted to do. But it is really awesome that you're able to continue that professionally. And I know just from reading up on you, you know, you looked up to Misty May Traynor, you looked up to all these iconic professional beach volleyball players. And now you enter that world. Was it a big step up for you from college volleyball? Like the competition, the way people were now serving you, the way you approached the game. What were the biggest challenges you faced becoming a professional?
It was a huge step up from college. And I'm also very lucky because I started in the USA volleyball program from a young age. I was about 14. So I went to a lot of like world youth tournaments. So kind of got a sense of what the competition was. And I even got to play a little bit professionally, like still as a collegiate athlete, but like during the summer, that's when the season is. Like I was able to go to some of those tournaments.
Just couldn't pocket the money.
Just couldn't. Yeah, nope. But like I was gaining experience while I was in college.
And so you sort of knew what you were prepping for.
So I knew what I was getting into, or kind of knew what I was getting into. But like when you jump into it fully, it's a completely different world. And, you know, at college and SC and like general, like they had everything laid out for you as an athlete. This is when you're going to lift. This is how you're going to lift. Oh, we have nutrition. We have meals for you before and after practice. And this is your practice time block. And all of a sudden you get into the professional world. It's like, okay, who's going to be your weight coach? Who's going to be your trainer? You are making all your own food now. Like that just
right.
In
there's
general.
Just a tournament on Friday, but you have to do everything before you show up.
Yeah. And then for USA and being a professional, if you want to get to the highest level, you play on the world tour. And that's like, oh, did you book your ticket to Switzerland? And you're like, oh yeah, now I'm a travel agent and I have to go across the world to play in a tournament. So it was this huge learning experience of, oh, you get to the tournament 3 days before to prepare.
Right. You didn't just have to worry about having a good game. You had to worry about every single thing that led up to before that game even happened.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. You have to know everything. You're watching film all of a sudden. And I mean, you did that at college, but it's just a completely different level when you hit international. And I've had a lot of learning curves and I'm still figuring it out. I'm still new to it.
And I know that when you first, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you first graduated, you had an invitation from Carrie Walsh to partner with her and decided to stick with Kelly, who was your partner from college. That's another big decision in life, similar to college, that you had to choose. And why do you feel like you chose what you did?
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of those, you know, tough decisions. And I mean, I respect her so much as a player. She's a multiple Olympic gold medalist. And I started something with Kelly, and we were a very young team, and I knew I wanted to be in the sport for a very long time. And, you know, I made the decision. I talked to my friends, my family, people around me, because like, how do you turn something like that down? But for me at the time, it was just the right decision to stick with Kelly.
You just wanted to see that through a little farther.
Yeah, see it through. I mean, we had great college career together. We started playing professional together. It's like we did something really big in college, and like, now let's do something big on the international level. So,
and it's a huge choice, because you're choosing 50% of your team. And it's not like on indoor where, you know, you sub in the next setter. It's, you know, this is someone who is going to attack a life dream of mine with me. And there's a huge amount of trust that goes along with that, about with consistency and with reliability. And I can imagine like all of, I mean, you keep mentioning, I asked my family, that's how I am. I can't make a decision unless I want everyone's opinion, and then I'll make my own decision.
Yeah, of course.
But I definitely can't just make.
You need help.
I also need a night's sleep. I feel like things happen in my life and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And then I wake up and I'm like, wait,
maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Exactly. But you jump into the pro world and you guys are doing awesome. What were the expectations you had for Sarah Hughes, the professional volleyball player? Were we thinking, okay, Tokyo 2020, win worlds? Did you sit down and have a list of things you wanted to accomplish?
Going into that world of the like international scene, professional volleyball player, like my goal has been to become the best beach volleyball player in the world. Like that was a goal of mine in college. And even in college, like my coach helped me. She was like, if you want to be the best, do you think that high line shot you just did would have gone down on a Brazilian defender or April Ross? Like, do you think that hit would have gone down? Like, I was striving for something more, even in the collegiate program, of like, I need to make that shot or that hit that much better, because if I get internationally, I need that ball to go down.
So even if this, I know this is going to drop when we play so-and-so next week, I'm not going to hit that easy shot. I'm going to go for the harder kill.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my mentality. And that was a huge, you know, thanks to my coach who helped me through that. So I just have always wanted to be up there. Like my goal since I was 8 years old was I want to play professional beach volleyball and I want to win an Olympic gold medal. And to do that, you have to be the best. And I think my first season internationally and as a professional, I had some great wins. I had some losses, but I've just been learning so much, and it's constant learning. And, and then I went with a new partner, mm-hmm. and really good things happened, because I needed for myself to get better. I was getting too comfortable. I was getting too complacent, and I wasn't getting the finishes I needed to or wanted to, like end of my first season professionally. So I made a partner switch, and we did really, we're very successful. I won my very first gold medal internationally, won a few more AVP wins.
I know you guys were 9 in the world at one point, right?
Yeah, we were 9 in the world and getting better. The only U.S. team to make it to the World Tour Finals, wow. which is the top 10 teams in the world. And then even the first 2019 season of Olympic qualifier started, we got a bronze medal. Things are looking good. You know, we have an off season and then it's go time. 2020 Olympic qualification. And boom, my partner gets injured. And it was a progressive injury. Something was nagging. Oh, it's a, you know, we're athletes. We'll get through this. We'll push through this. We're going to keep working hard. Oh, something's still wrong with my back. We're like, okay, we got to go see the trainer, go do this, go do that. And then all of a sudden it was, we have to pull out of this tournament. I can't. Her back was too bad. And it was like, oh no, okay, we got to go home. We're in Europe. We have to go home to see a doctor. And then we figure everything out. She's got multiple problems with her back, a herniated disc, and it's Olympic qualifying year. So I had to go through this huge, like, I just didn't know what to do with myself because everything was going so great. We're on the track to make the Olympics Tokyo 2020. By no means did we ever get comfortable or complacent, but we were on a good path. We were on a good trek to do that. And then something hits that's so hard
and so out of your control.
You literally spot on. Like, I have learned so much this year that there are so many things out of my control. And it was so hard for me because as an athlete, you're like, I will overcome that. I will fix that.
I'll wake up earlier. I'll go to the gym. I'll practice a shot 10 more times.
I'll do double days. But this was something that was literally out of my control. And I, thank goodness, I have such a great support system and people helping me make all these decisions. But I was put in a spot of, all of a sudden, this dream of Tokyo 2020 just took a huge, like, turn for the worse.
In realizing this, let's rewinding to, you're flying home from Europe, you're having these thoughts. I could imagine there's a mourning process. There's, like, days of crying, like, how the heck did this happen? And then there's that process of accepting. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like you have fully accepted that what happened? I mean, is the Olympics still, and I wish I knew the beach volleyball. It's so, I've tried to learn.
It's hard.
I tried to learn before I interviewed April. It's so hard to understand. Is 2020 now sort of a lost cause?
It is not a lost cause.
Oh.
And so, like, it kind of going back to that point, it was devastating. And I was like, this can't be happening. And I wasn't letting it go. I was like, we're good. We'll get back on track. Like, we took a couple months off for her to get healthy. And then we went to one more tournament and she could barely get past a couple matches. And it was like, then it hit me. It was like, this may not work out, because the Olympic process is you have to have 12 tournaments with your partner to make the Olympic Games. And at the time it was like, are there even going to be 12 more tournaments before the Olympic Games? And then
where do you find a partner of this caliber who's free for the next 12 tournaments?
Yeah. And then that's the thing. Then that was the hardest part for beach volleyball. There's so many partners that were already set of, like, if I had to ask somebody, it was like, they're already on the road to the Olympic path. Like, any team would be like, great. One team's out. Like, that's how competitive USA volleyball is. It's like, oh, that team's out. See you later. Now we get to surpass them. So it was, even though maybe I would have been a better choice for them as a partner, but it was like, oh, well, the points and the tournaments, like, we don't have together yet. So all of this was going in my head, and I'm trying to figure out what to do. Like, my hopes and dreams are maybe falling apart. But there's just, like, always been this part of me that's still not willing to let it go, because it's like, I'm going to do everything in my power to do what I can control. Like, I could go home, like, go into my room, like, be sad for myself. Why did this happen to me? Or I can step up, just keep my head down, put my head down and work harder than I ever have before. And that's exactly what I've been doing these past couple months. Like, I didn't realize, like, how much more I could push myself. And I've started to do that. Like, I'm in the gym. I'm doing stuff on my own. I'm watching film by myself. And I'm not giving up. Like, that was my thing. I'm like, I'm not giving up on my dreams. If something happens that's out of my control, if there's not 12 tournaments before the Olympic Games, what can I do about that? That is literally out of my control. But I can guarantee that I will play the best I possibly can against those other U.S. teams to let them know that I'm not giving up. Mm-hmm. And that I'm going to be that person that, if you're going to go to the Olympics, you're going to have to get through me. So that's been, like, everything. That's been my mentality. And I have not given up. And I've been doing practices by myself. I've been training by myself, just me and my coach. Like, I'm getting more reps. I'm putting my body through a lot right now. But it is what it is. I grabbed a new partner who's a former 2016 Olympian, and we're working. She's in NorCal, so I fly up there. I'm there most of the time. I come home for a little bit, and we just We just won our first tournament together.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Damn, that must feel good.
It felt really good. And, you know, not every high-level team was at this tournament, but it was a true test. Like, we had already gone through adversity at that tournament, and it was like, I'm not giving up. Like, this is me not giving up. And I want to prove to myself to, it doesn't even matter what other people think. Like, this is just myself. I've been given this situation that is not fair, doesn't seem fair. It's not fun. It sucks. But I'm like, things could be worse. Like, I could not be playing the sport I love right now. There can always be something worse. Mm-hmm. Like, that could happen. But I'm like, I'm here. I'm healthy. I can work hard. And trust me, I'm going to. And that's just, like, what I've been living for the past couple months.
And will you guys get those 12 tournaments together? Those opportunities?
So that's the thing. That's the goal. Like, we're hoping we can. And there could be those 12 tournaments. Some of those tournaments are in China. So with all the virus going on, like,
it's a risk.
We don't know if these tournaments will be canceled. Like, we were just in Cambodia and, you know, we started off strong. We won that gold medal and we have so much more work to do and so much more things to accomplish. But Right. If there's like a little bit, like if we can do it, we're on the road and we're doing it. And like I said, we're doing everything we can, but some things are not in our power. But like I said before, I'm going to be out there and I'm going to be giving it my all regardless of the situation.
And now, how did you find this partner? How was this girl finally available and of the caliber you needed?
Yeah. So she actually had just had a baby, a little girl, Willa. Mm-hmm. So she is, I believe, 7.5, 8 months now. So Lauren Fendrick is her name. She was a 2016 Olympian.
That rings a bell.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, and I'm like, oh, things suck. And I'm like, oh, I got an Olympian as a partner. Like,
yeah.
But so she's so great. And I mean, she's working so hard because she had to, you know, take time off. She had the baby. You have to heal. You have to recover. But she's in full training mode. I called her on the phone. I was like, you want to do this? Like, I need a partner and I want to accomplish something really big. Would you want to do that with me? And she's like, I'm in. And like right there, I was like, you're in, like, you're going to give it your all. She's like, let's do this. I'm like, I put down the phone and I'm like, this is it. Like, that was my second chance. If we can do it, like, if there's that number of tournaments left, like, we're going to do it.
And along with those 12 tournaments comes probably winning, getting a high enough point scoreage, all those crazy calculations that end up, what, sending the top two American teams.
So only four girls can go to the Olympics. And you're right. It has to line up. We have to do well. We have to win. We have to get into the tournaments first. So it's not easy by any means, but like I don't care.
I'm almost, you're instilling me. I'm like, I need to go to the gym right now. Like, we need to get this. What are the tournaments? I'm so on your level of Sarah. Like, we need to get this done. And I can only imagine like how mentally you've been having to handle those high level, you know, anxious, excited, hopeful feelings and keep them in a place where you can still perform. And like, what sort of mindset techniques or mental things have you been calling on to stay at an even level, to be the player you know you can be?
Yeah, I've been, and that's exactly what I'm working on right now, finding those techniques. And lately it's been like a lot of kind of like breathing exercises before a match. And for me, actually, like visualizing, I did a lot of that in Cambodia, of visualizing what I need to do. Because like I said, I've been training really hard and I've been working on some completely different like ways of improving my game. So like I visualize that going in before a match. I'm like, this is what I need to do. Don't go back to old ways.
Old comfortable, easy tactics. Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you get in trouble and you're frustrated, right? You go back to what you know best. For me, it was, no, you can't do that. You need to step up and what you've learned, you need to put it into this match because that's how you're going to win and that's how you're getting better. So it was always just like, I would kind of close my eyes and just visualize exactly what I needed to do with my arm swing, with my setting, with my passing, literally every aspect of my game, what I've been learning and working on, I visualized it before each match.
Wow. it's so powerful to put that into the world of, I will perform it this way. I will serve here. And then seeing those physical things align and become hand in hand. Do you thrive under this pressure? Like, well, do you thrive under a coach or a situation that's, you have one chance? What for you is, historically, looking back at all your games and experiences, where you play your best volleyball?
I think I play my best when I'm not thinking too much. And I know it sounds cliche, but it's the hardest thing in the world.
Baby.
It's the hardest thing in the world to get to that point of where you're just like, I don't need to worry about that serve, pass, set, hit. That's all it is. This game of volleyball. So it's like me not overthinking things, or it's 14-14. What if we don't get this next point? Then it's match point for them. And I think we're all guilty of doing that. I know I am. But it's just that grasping that and being okay with it. So we had a match, the semifinal match. It was really hot out. It was 14-14 in the third game. And Lauren and I look at each other and it was like, hey, we want this challenge. And we want this right now because this is only going to make us better for what is coming next for us. Like, we have much more harder things to get over than this 14-14 match right now. So we're like, all right, you and me, we're doing this together. Let's do it. Like, so it wasn't, there was no time to be like, oh, I'm scared. What do I do? Should I be tentative?
I love that. Hey, we want this challenge, because if it was 14-8, this would not be hard for us and we wouldn't learn anything. You're like, I want a situation where it's hot, I'm tired, we're tied, and we could lose, and I want to see us win. Yeah. And that, I think, too, is what separates you from so many athletes. Is so many athletes, they don't want that situation. They want to show up and they want it to be easy. They want to work really hard in the gym, get really strong, hit their numbers, and then show up and be a breeze. Yeah. And I think the reality is, and you can say this too, that that's not what makes a great player.
It isn't. And I think everything too that's happened to me this past season has only made me better and stronger. Because, you know, you saw at SC was, as hard as I worked at SC, we were very successful.
Right.
And we did what we needed to do. And going into my first couple years professional, it was, things are still really good. I'm a top 10 team in the world. I'm winning AVPs. And things are going well. I'm still working hard. And then something drastically horrible happened, and I'm like, wait a second, I just learned how to work even harder. Mm-hmm. I thought I've always worked hard, but I was like, I've learned something that has just made me better. And it's crazy saying this, but I'm almost grateful for that, because now I know what it really takes to be the best in the world. And I still want that. I still want Olympic gold. I still want to represent USA volleyball to the best of my level. But I'm like, sometimes you really have to go through something hard to figure out who you truly are as a person and how hard you need to work to be able to accomplish something like that.
And when you say best in the world, I honestly get chills, because to be in a position in your life where that is a goal of yours, that's something that you're very confident about, and that's something that you work towards. You're a certain type of human that is very, very different and special than the majority of people, that they don't seek those things. And could you explain a little bit how you balance that drive of, I want to be the best in the world, with also, I'm human. There's going to be a day where it's not my day. There's going to be a situation where, yeah, I'm not as mental. I know I should growth mindset, but I can't. Yeah. So how do you manage that balance mentally, especially?
Yeah, that's something very hard to balance. But like you said, sometimes it's just like, it's not your day and you've trained so hard, but it's like, what is going on with me today? I can't hit a ball in, or I can't pass right now. But I typically am very hard on myself, but sometimes I'm just like, I have this mentality right now of like, I just need to let go. And I'm taking everything point by point. And that's just kind of like what I'm doing with life right now too, is like, I'm taking it day by day. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't control if they cancel a tournament, but I can get better. Like, I can figure it out. I can let it go and move on.
Would you agree with the fact that
in order to be the best version of yourself, though, you will need, there are days where you will say, I got to be done at 3 p.m. just for my sanity, for my body.
Yeah.
Like, how do you manage in that self-care without having those thoughts of, well, you could still be at the gym. You could still be training.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, no, I've had days, like, even, for example, yesterday. So I got home Monday around like 2 p.m. from a crazy, like, over 32-hour travel day from Cambodia. And I took that rest of that Monday off. And I was like, okay, I got to get back in the gym on Tuesday. And I talked to my strength coach. He's like, do your routine. Just get a nice long warm-up. And so I did. And then I have like three sets of something, but like I had to take a step back and I was like, oh, my body is really hurting. I'm really tired, not feeling 100%. And so I was like, I just did two sets instead. And usually something like that irks me so much. I'm like, I can't, I gotta push through. I gotta do the rest of this workout. And that's how I usually am. But I was like, if I do this, I might hurt myself more. So I kind of toned it back. You really have to feel your body and you have to respond to what it's telling you.
And I think that ability is what makes an elite level human being, an athlete, because when we fall victim of this, oh, I just can never give up. I can never listen to myself. I can't have weakness. I can't be anxious. I can't have this. You're pretending you're not a human. I mean,
yeah.
Every human's going to have a day where they can or their body does hurt. And it's not because you're not going to be the best in the world if you don't train that day. It's because, hey, everyone needs a little bit of rest, a recharge. The yeah. same way everything else in life needs water, needs to be plugged in, needs to sleep at night.
Yeah, no, there are days where sometimes like weekends or my time off, sometimes I'm just like, I'm going to be in my house all day. I'm just going to watch movies and relax. Like, that's what I need.
And I'm not
going
to shame myself about it.
No, oh my gosh, not at all. And then there's our times like, I'm like, I am so tired. I want rest, but I'm like, I need to go hang out with my friends. I might be tired, but sometimes like I just need that in my life. I need my friends. I need an outlet and I need not to worry about volleyball or talk about it. It's just like, and that's something I'm so lucky to have too. Like I have such good friends and family that are just like, let's just go out to dinner and have fun. And I'm like, it's exactly what I need.
My
right
life's
now.
In shambles, but we're ordering guac and we're not going to talk about it.
Exactly. So it's just like, there are times where it's, all right, I actually need to rest today. And there are times like, yeah, I'm tired, but I am going to go hang out with my friends because it's exactly what I need in my life. And I think it's really important to find those balances of what you need and what you might not want to do, but it's like, that's actually going to be the best for me.
And is that something that you maybe didn't know as well in college?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was, it's just like such a learning process with everything. It's like, oh, how do I not go out? All my teammates are going out to this party tonight and the men's volleyball team's going. It's going to be so much fun, but it's just like
throwback.
Yeah. Right. And it's
men's
just,
volley, they're fun.
Yeah. And it's just like, shoot, I can't go tonight. Like I have to finish this paper or like, I just finished a final. Like I just need to like decompress mm-hmm. and you can hear like the row like going off, but you're just at your house and you're like, I'm okay with this.
You're like, these are the nights I'll remember on the podium.
Yeah. This is it. This is why I'm not at Lambda right
I'm
now.
I'm almost like going to refuse to go to parties just so I can say I've never been to one. It was always training. The last thing I just want to end with, and I want to know if you're okay sharing with me, but we did both have to do personal philosophy statements for Glenn Fox's class. And for everyone listening, a personal philosophy statement was just something that they encouraged us to create, and it takes time, it takes days, could take weeks to formulate who you are down to a quick phrase or a quick sentence. And I would love to hear yours.
Yeah, so I did not know about personal philosophies, and I walked into a class, I was invited to go to a lecture, and I made it up right on the spot. Like I didn't know. And they said, it was like something that will come so like easily for you. You won't be afraid to say it. Like it, something you believe in and it's who you are. And so I wrote down on a piece of paper, win the same way you lose, with respect and integrity. And it just felt like it embodied me and how I grew up and how I was raised and how I embrace and look at the sport. I want to be a champion. I want to work harder than everyone else, but I also want to be a good person, and I want to be able to give back, and I want girls who are young now, I want them to have opportunities in the sport, and I want them to look up to me and to see how hard I'm working and how I'm doing it in the right way. And that's just what I want in my career. And most importantly, like, that's how I want to make an impact.
That's such a beautiful statement. And it is one that, like you said before, it's something they said you should call on this when you need to get reconnected with who you are at your core. You need to remember, like, what your purpose is. And I feel like that's a statement that obviously we think win and lose in terms of competition, but I think everyday life, you know, when someone cuts you off in traffic, when you show up with the return receipt and they say it's been 31 days, you know, how do you handle those situations? And it's such a great statement. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
And it's even cooler that you just wrote it that day and you've never had to tweak it.
I wish
that happened to me. I'm like still tweaking mine. I'm like, mine, nothing feels right.
I had that moment. Like, I was with somebody and I wrote it down and we said it to each other first. And then Michael Gervais was the one who was like, all right, who wants to read theirs out loud?
Oh yeah. I remember this class. Yeah. He was the guest lecturer.
Yeah. And I raised my hand cause you know, he talked about like, you have to be proud of it. This is what you want. This is who you are. And I was like, you know, and I went up there and I read it and he kind of talked me through it. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is my personal philosophy. And who knows, maybe it will be tweaked a little bit one day. But for the most part, like, I think it stayed true. And it's, like, who I am and what I want to live by. So.
You're awesome. No, really. experience with you as, like, I don't have expectations on my guests. I always want to just get fully in the moment and see where things could go. But, you know, obviously, one thing I always think about with Real Pod is whenever I have someone on, I'm hoping, I want to really talk about these things. I was thinking, I hope she wants to talk about her partner getting injured and the stress there. And just thank you for sharing everything you've been through and being really authentic with us, because so many athletes I know are listening, and to hear from someone like you who is striving to be the best of all time, just get really real about what the obstacles and hurdles have been, is so freaking cool.
Oh, thank you. No, I really appreciate it. I've been following you and I'm like so stoked because I mean, like, you know, Trojan family. And
yes, it's so real. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. I know you barely get off time. So
no, I'm happy to be here. I'm like first podcast. So I was pretty excited.
You did amazing.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking the call. I just thought that this would be so timely.
Yeah, a lot of crazy, just the world is a crazy place right now, that's for sure.
So the last time we spoke, you were pretty hopeful about that series of tournaments coming up. I think it was in China. And now, obviously, everything has been canceled. I've heard now the Olympics might be postponed. I'm wondering how this is affecting you and your training, and if this maybe, I was thinking maybe because things are being postponed, I don't know if the chances would be better, but from your perspective, what has it been like right now, just with everything going on in the sports world?
Yeah, everything is a little crazy right now, because last time we talked, I told you that we're going for it, we're going to every tournament we can, we're going to make a push for the 2020 Olympics, and then, of course, the virus hit and tournaments are being canceled and pretty much, you know, the whole world and the athletic world has been shut down. And a lot of athletes aren't able to train, practice, go into their gyms. So right now I've just been staying at home and trying to be safe and healthy. And the best that I'm doing right now is a lot of at-home workouts. The USA trainer has been amazing and sent us all really tough workouts that we can do from home. And then, of course, today they just announced the postponement of the Olympics. So with that, there's even a little bit more confusion. We don't know what the qualification process is going to look like for the next summer. But all I can do is keep staying in the best shape I can, have a positive attitude, and hopefully, you know, can make it to the 2020 2021 Summer Olympic Games now.
Yeah. And I would love you to explain a little bit on how you're keeping that positivity and that optimism, because I know so many young athletes are just so, so upset that their seasons have ended. And I totally get it. And especially you, like, you explained how much you've been grinding and gunning for this, for it to be disrupted like this. So how have you been handling that and able to keep it so positive?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really hard. At first, after everything happened, I was about to get on a plane and fly to a tournament, and I had to cancel my flight within about 4 hours of me going all the way to Australia. And I was pretty heartbroken about it because I was just so ready. I was peaking at the right time. I was ready to compete. And then there was a huge letdown. So I completely understand how athletes are feeling right now, especially the young athletes who some of their seasons are over. And, of course, NCAA athletes who their seasons just got completely washed away. It's just so hard. And you kind of sometimes wake up and you're like, why, what am I putting all this work in for? Everything's over now. But I'm taking it as a way of, this is something we cannot control, and that's okay. And we just have to take that with a grain of salt and know what we want to do and how we want the world to see us. And we don't want anyone to see us down or give up. We're just excited. I'm just excited for what's to come and the new opportunities. So all this adversity, I think we can make something really good out of it if we just keep working hard and training as hard as we can.
Yeah, I love that. I also think it's a unique position because we really don't know what could happen. They could add another series of qualifications because it will be so, like, from so far ago or whatever the case may be. So really, all you can control is if you're going to be up to speed and be one of the best of the best. And so I think the advice for young athletes you're trying to say is, like, just keep at your best because, you know, we don't know when this is going to end. We don't know what's going to happen when it's going to end, but you want to be, you know, your best player regardless of the situations you can't control.
Definitely. I completely agree with that. And who knows, maybe the qualification process will start over, start fresh. You just never know. And
yeah, that'd be wild.
You just want to be ready for whenever an opportunity comes. And you never know, like you said, what's going on right now. It's a little crazy with the world, but you never know what's going to happen next. And you want to be prepared and you want to be ready to be your best self and to be the best athlete you can be.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time quickly to jump on this call and just get everyone on the episode up to date. I was like, it's going to end really hopeful. And people are going to be like, what is she up to now that there's a coronavirus, is a national emergency? So thanks for taking the time to explain everything. Still rooting for you. Fingers crossed for a good situation when we all come out of this. But thanks so much.
Oh, no, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Real Pod. If you enjoyed Sarah and you want to keep up with her and her journey, you can follow her on Instagram. Her username is Sarah Hughes Beach. Sarah Hughes Beach. And she is amazing. Her workouts, her work ethic, all of those videos get me hyped. So I highly suggest you check that out. If you enjoyed this podcast and have been listening, or if this is your first one and you enjoyed it, please rate, subscribe, and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. That would be so helpful and mean a lot to me. Thanks again for listening. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Hang in there. This is definitely tough, but I know that we can all get through it. Thanks again for listening. Have a good one.